Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha Lewis here, and we are broadcasting via Zoom because obviously we're still practicing some social distancing and amid the coronavirus pandemic, but we want to talk about something a little bit lighter, and so I'm so excited that Sugar Chef has returned to the podcast. Hi there, how are you?
Hey, Tisha, how are you? What's the good word?
Right, what's the good word? We are charging forward and navigating everything that's happening, but so far, so good. And, you know, we're hoping to uplift and inspire and give people some hope. That's what we do here in the Good Word Podcast. Typically, pre-pandemic, we were taped out of the Fox 5 DC studios, but I am at home. I assume you were at home, and we're doing all this via technology, which is a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
So let's get right to it. There's a lot going on in the culinary world. So, you know, I thought of you this week because apparently people are taking to baking and spending a lot more time in the kitchen, and they are churning butter and making bread that looks like frogs. Have you heard about all this?
I think I've seen it. You know, I'm a little bit of an IG, I don't want to say junkie because that's a negative connotation, but, you know.
You like Instagram a lot.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the churning of the butter, because I saw this and I feel like this is something that I did as a child growing up in school as like a science project or something of the sort. But now people are doing it at home and they're making all different types of butters. And so what's your take on this?
Well, you know, that's actually... I mean, in terms of shapes and things like that, that might be a little new, but we've done, I mean, and just growing up in restaurants and things like that, we do a lot of the savory butters and I mean, that's really nothing new, but I guess it's new to some people. You know, a lot of people do the savory butters with different herbs and different spices and things like that, with honey, cinnamon, you name it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I don't know how people are doing it or what they're putting into it, but it's something that I definitely want to try. And it's definitely something that sounds a bit therapeutic, which we could probably all use right now.
Oh, absolutely. Because I noticed that you're always cooking. So I definitely think it's always good for like pastas and meats and chickens. And it's always great with fish. So different things like that. It's, you know, they have different things that they pair well with. And I think that you know, the staples, they grow well with the savory butters.
What's up with the baking of the breads? And now people are baking bread and making it look like frogs. Why frogs? And why bread?
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you say that, because all of my baking friends are talking about they can't find the basic baking ingredients anywhere. They're traveling in the DMV area, and it's hard to find flour, sugar, eggs, butter, that type of thing. But, you know, people are home. You're home with your family most times. Bacon is something that is certainly comforting to the heart and the soul. And it's a great family activity, whether you have small kids or adults, or it's a, you know, perfect opportunity for you to reconnect with your parents. So I think what's coming around is it's a bit of a trend in terms of doing it in different shapes and stuff like that. I haven't quite seen a frog, but I have noticed that the trend of a lot of people doing a lot of bread baking, because one, I think the biggest thing is, the first thing is that it's just like you said, it's very therapeutic because of the stages and the resting, and it's the comfort thing. And also, I know with me, I usually gift it to a loved one. And in times like this, you really want to surround yourself with a lot of love and healing and inspiration. So what better way to connect with your loved ones and your family, you know, well as your family and your friends, than gifting them a baked good from, you know, from scratch, from your own two hands. So I think that's a great thing.
So Sugar Chef, I have to say to you, when we first spoke and you first came on the podcast, it was several months ago, and this was all getting started. And now here we are. I definitely did not think we would be in August still having this conversation remotely, but here we are. What are some, you know, easy tips and tricks you can give for folks at home with their children to just make some really quick meals, especially what's going on with the schools across the country and here in the Washington, D.C. area? Children are going to be home, distance learning, and they have to eat. And so what is something that's really simple so that, you know, families and parents aren't feeling overwhelmed?
Okay, I think one of the biggest tips that I always say, it's really about spending the quality time with your child. And the, one of the most important things is that source things locally. I mean, I think the farmers market, I think they're still going on in the area. So let's utilize the farmers market and the other local small businesses for your vegetables, for maybe your pastas, for maybe your proteins, even for your baked goods. So I think that getting in the kitchen and doing locally sourced things like your vegetables and your greens and things like that is perfect. I noticed that a lot of the kids, they like to do fun activities, like whether it's creating, okay, I usually start with three meals. So you may want to get your child in the kitchen to do a breakfast. Say, for instance, if they like waffles, a great waffle recipe is really simple. It's usually, you know, leavening, flour. If you want to throw in some cornmeal in there for texture, you put in some fruit. So I think a great breakfast would be a simple thing, as something as simple as a waffle or pancakes, your favorite pancakes. How easy is that? A quick and easy lunch meal would be something as simple as a grilled cheese, believe it or not.
Yes. Here, we are at Grilled Cheese headquarters right here.
Yeah, you know, all kids love grilled cheese. You may be able to sneak in a couple of vegetables in between the slices of your favorite cheese, whether it's American or provolone or something like that. But also whole grain breads is another trick that you could definitely use. You know, you slide on the butter, well, minimally, but, you know, sneaking in some whole grain breads is a great way to incorporate a little texture with your grilled cheese sandwiches. You may be able to stick in one of their favorite, accompany it rather with one of their favorite soups. So I think soup and grilled cheese is one of my favorite things. And also for dinner, how easy is this? What I always like to do with one of my little nieces is, like, say for instance, if it's Saturday night dinner, what we'll do is we'll prep it. Like if it's pizza dough, we'll prep the pizza dough and let it sleep overnight in the refrigerator. And pizza dough is really, really simple. It's usually flour, salt, leavening. When I say leavening, it's usually yeast, warm water, maybe olive oil. You make the dough, you put it in a grease bowl, stick it in the refrigerator overnight. Take it out, flour surface, punch it out, and you can do it in a sheet pan style. How easy is that? A cookie sheet. Grease the cookie sheet, press it out, and what we'll do is, I like to do it with her, we like to do it focaccia style. So we can take like a pre-made healthy tomato base sauce, like a marinara sauce or her favorite tomato sauce. She loves pepperoni, so we do like a pepperoni, and then we do one of the locally sourced cheeses from, I like to go to Easter Market to get a lot of different cheeses and stuff. So that's one of our little cheat meals. So I think prepping ahead, making it fun, including the kids in what you're doing, and also the meal planning is always key.
What about for dinner?
That's for dinner. You can do pizza for dinner, have a pizza night. If you want to do something simpler, which I prefer to do, I love to do like a grilled salmon and a favorite salad. She loves like a blue cheese. So what I'll do is I'll have her to wash the lettuce, the romaine lettuce. We'll make some croutons or we'll just buy some. And then I'll show her how to marinate the salmon. We'll grill it, flash it in the oven a few minutes, take it out, put it on a bed of lettuce. Personally, I like to do it with Caesar salad. And then you have dinner. Did I lose you?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, so definitely we like to do the, you know, the grilled salmon with Caesar salad. We can do a pizza night. We can do something that's like barbecue chicken. I clean the chicken. I have my little niece to do the barbecue sauce. So the barbecue sauce is usually her favorite sauce. And then we'll add some different spices and some different herbs and stuff to it. And then we'll marinate the chicken and bake it off in the oven.
You know, I'm a firm believer that comfort food is so, so good for the soul.
Absolutely.
How can I have my comfort food but not make it healthy? If there is such a thing as healthy comfort food, maybe there's not.
Well, yeah, it really depends on, you know, what your favorite dish is. Like if you want to do
macaroni
something
macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Most people cheat. you know, a good friend of mine, she does a vegan macaroni and cheese.
Wow.
Well, she goes to Whole Foods and she gets a vegan cheeses, right? And then you use like a, you know, for butter, you can use like an earth balance or something like that. You can use vegan pasta. It's a lot of different ways that you can do healthy comfort food, but just kind of cut back a little bit on the calories. And that's something that I'm trying to practice now. But you definitely want to utilize a healthy choice for your pasta. In terms of cheeses, there are vegan cheeses out there. I can't think of the brand right offhand. Vegan cheeses. You can do a cream substitute or butter substitute, something like, I love to use oat milk in a lot of my baking. You can use almond milk as well, but if your kid has allergies or something like that, you may want to go with an oat milk. There are butter substitutes out there. So it's a lot of different things that you can utilize and cut calories and make it healthy.
You know, I love talking to you because you have such great energy, and I do follow you on social media and I love your posts. How have you been able to stay positive during this pandemic that, you know, has been very heavy for so many people?
Well, you know, I just try to stay, as they say, stay prayed up. I try to stay hopeful. And I know that, you know, God always has something better for us around the corner. And we just will have to keep ourselves in a better mindset, you know, because unfortunately things could be worse. You know, you have to be thankful for, as my mother would always say, be thankful for the four corners that you have. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for work. I'm thankful for creativity. I'm thankful for you and people who continue to support me. So you just have to, as opposed to focus on the negative and what we don't have, let's focus on the things that we do have, because a lot of us are still in great health. We still have a roof over our shoulder. We still have, you know, money and income coming in to support ourselves. So we have to think of the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm all for that, especially, you know, the podcast is an opportunity to really, really, you know, uplift and encourage people. And I do not take it for granted, because I know a lot of people are very discouraged right now. And some people may think, well, what does the chef have to do with faith? Because we are a faith-based podcast. But, you know, what do they say? Food is the pathway to the soul. I get adages all mixed up all the time. But I am a firm believer that if you have some good food and surround yourself with good people, family, and friends, you know, we will all get through this together. What have you seen most people are interested in ordering? Because I know you actually have your own culinary business as well. What is in high demand?
You're a faith-based podcast, so I can't say what is in high demand now. But a lot of the classics, you know, a lot of the pound cakes, I've been doing a lot of pies lately, simple things like cookies, but classics like pound cakes, buttercream cakes, fruit cakes are, you know, fruit, like cakes using fruit has been really popular now. So any of the classic comfort desserts always make people feel great right about now.
I have a feeling you were going to say rum cake is in high demand.
Yeah. Yes.
You're gonna say rum cake is in high demand.
Yeah, I have to do a bunch of rum cakes and I have to do a bunch of Hennessy cakes. So, you know, a little spirits to wake them up a little bit.
You know, you have been doing this for such a long time. What has changed for you? You know, what's been the biggest change for you during this time period? You know, as we're all adjusting to a new normal.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because what I find most in times like this is that it really pushes our creativity as culinary professionals, that we're not just worried about, okay, what's the food trend or something like that. Most of us are thinking creative ways in which to get our products into our clients' hands. You know, a lot of people are doing, you know, drop-off meals. A lot of people are doing pickup meals. A lot of people are doing, you know, like a dinner for five meals, a dinner for four. A lot of people are entertaining at home. So you have to think of creative ways to get your product and your food in the hands of your customers. So I have a lot of respect for a lot of the DMV chefs that are really creative in terms of, you know, the dinner packages that they put in together, and different creative ways to get their, you know, their food out there and still, you know, feeding the masses. So I'm most proud of that it certainly has pushed me to be more creative with you know, just trying to make sure that everyone has access to my product and being safe at the same time.
What does Sugar Chef listen to while he's cooking? Do you turn on a little bit of music?
Oh yeah, you know, music is definitely healing to the soul as well as, to me, it always makes me productive. So I listen to anything. One of my favorites in terms of, you know, spiritual music, I love Helen Baylor. I love Anita Wilson. My absolute favorite is Dorothy Norwood. So,
classic.
Yeah. Heather Headley has a beautiful spiritual album that she put out some time ago. So I'm listening to everything, to that, to one of my other favorites is Jody Watley, to some dance music. I love Motown. I listen to a little bit of everything. It's kind of eclectic.
Have you been back to church since all of this? The churches that I attend have not opened back up yet, but I have been watching online, and I find that I'm actually more engaged watching the service online than, dare I say, in person.
Yeah, it's less distractions when you're watching it online. So yeah, I've just been zooming in, and a lot of the churches have been really great with doing the Zoom podcast and watching the service on Facebook as well. So I've enjoyed doing those, you know, because it's to me, it's just a little safer that way. So
sure, I do miss the fellowship and the interaction. And you're in an industry where it is based on fellowship and interaction. How are you handling that?
You know, staying hopeful, staying positive, and I'm praying that things will turn around soon. I pray that, you know, the country bounces back. I pray that everybody goes back to work and everyone's able to keep a roof over their head and keep food in their stomach. So I'm just staying positive and being thankful that my family's healthy. You know, I've had a few cousins and some other relatives that have been diagnosed, but, you know, everyone's bounced back. And so I'm just staying positive. And I think, you know, we have to change our mindset and again, focus on the positive things and focus on the things that we have as opposed to things that we don't.
And let the church say, amen.
Amen.
Sugar Chef, you know, we always ask our guests on the podcast, what is the good word?
The good word is being positive, loving your family, and being thankful. You know, my sister went through a health scare lately, recently, and I'm just thankful that she's still here. I'm thankful that my family members are safe. So I'm just thankful, and I thank God for his grace and his mercy, and that's my good word.
And if folks want to learn more about you, where can they find you? How can they reach you?
I'm available through social media, sugachef.com or sugachef on Instagram, Sugar Chef Desserts on Facebook, and on Twitter at Sugar Chef.
You know, I have to ask you, I meant to ask you last time you were on the show, where did you get Sugar Chef from?
You know, a lot of people ask me that question. I was a pastry chef at a Mediterranean place downtown and was working with this chef, and he would always call me Sugar Chef. And he was like, why? And I asked him one day, I said, why do you call me Sugar Chef? And he was like, oh, because you work with all the sweet stuff. So it just kind of stuck from there. And, you know, people love it, and it's always on everyone's tongue, and I think it's perfect for a pastry chef.
It is. Sugar Chef, thank you so much for joining us on The Good Word. We appreciate you sharing a few of your tips and tricks and advice with us and your wisdom, and most importantly, your positive spirit and energy and your uplifting words. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for making us laugh. And we wish you well, and I'm sure we'll have another conversation with you. Hopefully the next time we talk, things are better than they are now.
Well, you know what, Tisha? Thank you so much for thinking about me. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And just stay tuned because I have something big on the horizon. So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, we are definitely looking forward to that. And we just want to remind everyone, please subscribe to the Good Word Podcast. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, and Google Play, and everywhere that podcasts play. You can also go to fox5dc.com and just search the Good Word Podcast and hear all of our episodes. I think we have more than 50, maybe more than 60, but we've been at it for some time now, and we are just adapting and navigating. And we wish you all well. We hope everybody is well and safe and healthy. And be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much again, Sugar Chef.
Thank you so much, Tisha.